fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Greg Brady, Andrew Walker. Mornings suddenly got more intense. Let's go! This is Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Why not? It's Wednesday, August 20th. Brady and Walker. Usually Greg Brady and Andrew Walker. It's Greg Brady and Ben Ennis for another few mornings, and then you're free. You're free to go. Your papers are signed. Yeah, you get to, you know, you get the certificate, and you're out
in the world.
Live your life, young man.
Jump out of the nest. See if I can fly.
Something like that. Yeah. And you're probably in better. Better working condition. Yesterday, you did the late night connected on Monday going to Tuesday. You did the late night connected.
I have
Carolyn
no,
Cameron.
I have no memories of yesterday's show.
Did you
was
say
it good?
Anything to Carolyn was that was inappropriate on the air or
I have
off
no
the air?
Idea. It was like I felt
you'll
like
find out soon enough.
I felt like Will Ferrell after the debate in Old School. I had no memory of what happened in the previous hour and a half.
You were slamming a metal chair against a locker saying we got to keep our composure
right.
Halfway through the show
felt
yesterday.
Felt like that after yesterday's Blue Jays game, kind of.
In your tidy whities. Yeah, are we at a particular low ebb 126 games in? A 6-1 loss. They had 24 straight batters come to the plate and 24 straight were retired from the third inning on against... Again, you know, it's like the Matt Full. I can't see too good. Is that Roger Clemens from 98? No, it's Mike Fears. So it's not.
If you were, Greg, if you were going to imagine a scenario in a game in which a team was playing and they had no belief they could win it and they didn't really care and they were just kind of playing out the string, wouldn't it look exactly like yesterday's game looked, at least offensively, where you have two hits, you don't have a base runner after the second inning, and you don't take a walk? I mean, it just seems like they were swinging early in the count. They just wanted to get back to the hotel, maybe have some Miller Lights and go to bed. Like, that's what it...
Anyone freak out there, okay?
Very similar to that.
That's what it would have looked like, right?
Yeah.
That's Exhibit A.
And I don't want to... A lot of people are going to make something. And I'm not sure it's nothing, but I'm not sure it's... Something.
Oh, that's
of Jose Reyes's comment. We just want to go home. I've felt that way too many times in work, on blind dates, in a long winter at college. I've felt that way. But Jose Reyes is also English is not his first language. Still, that's fact. And I don't know if we're misinterpreting.
I think he just might want to go back to Rogers Center.
Of course. Sure. Yeah. Yes.
Sure. Sure.
I just want to go home and lay down and get into the fetal position and cry, because that's mostly how the fan base is feeling now. They lose another game to both Seattle and Detroit in the wild card last night. Detroit won a late 8-6, 11-inning affair with the Rays of Tampa. And I guess... I don't know how to look at it now. The playoffs are the bottom line, Ben, but the ignominy of having the Rays catch you and pass you would be ignominious. And so I was watching Detroit Tampa last night thinking, okay, well, yeah, Detroit's hanging in there, but also Tampa doesn't get within a game and a half of Toronto for third place in the division. I don't know what to want anymore.
Yeah.
Other than wins.
We're going
to
talk to Arash Madani after 8 o'clock today, 8:05, and I kind of got – that's what kind of – it turned my screws a little bit last night, reading that tweet that Arash tweeted out.
Most of Arash's tweets turn my screws. So yeah, CFL refereeing debates.
Or the Vikings, you know. So I start feeling for the Vikings fans. This had nothing to do with that. There was no skull in this tweet. Again, amidst a 4-11 August, a hashtag Blue Jays player told me today, quote, "You know what Bautista meant about not doing crap at the deadline?" Referencing the team's play. I can't believe that. Okay, what that means, at least that one player before that game at least had that on his mind going into that game, that this team is garbage, that they were defeated before they even played yesterday's game.
Yeah.
And now just four wins in the month.
You had a day off from a disappointing loss Sunday against the White Sox and a very bad first inning from Drew Hutchinson, but you had a day off. And, you know, it's that whole the sun always comes out mentality. And I'm not telling you everybody should be, you know, dancing in the streets because the Blue Jays are, quote unquote, still in it. But you're right. And that's probably not a really young player. That's probably not a kid, if you will go to a reporter and say, is this off the record? Yeah. I'll tell you what I think about this, about this chicanery going on around here over the last 2 weeks, you know, given that they now have the worst August record in all of baseball.
You know who it's not also? It's not some role player. It's not some guy, some fringy guy. It's not, you know, Juan Francisco.
Can Steve Tolleson start dropping bombs about management? You're here. You've got a gig.
So it's somebody. It's somebody good. It's somebody.
It's Kawasaki. That's who it is. I'm telling you, that's who it is.
Yeah, he's.
I fingered him long ago.
He's a wolf in sheep's clothing, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an ugly situation. But actually, it's not good.
You on Twitter last night at BNSSnet got. I thought that fired you up a little bit.
It did, Greg. Without, I didn't
want to call you at home and start yelling at you and have you yell back, but I thought you were fired up by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am. I'm still fired up about it.
Because you're saying if you have just the least bit of competitive juice pumping through you and you're a professional and you've done amazing things athletically and perseverance-wise to get to that point, to think about all the baseball players that don't get to that point, and that's what you're thinking going into a game like that against a nobody pitcher with a chance to do something amazing?
And say what you will about the Blue Jays' chances going into that game, whatever, they lose, and now it's 4.5 games. But, you know, 3.5 games, that's doable, all right? It's not like, it would take a nice run. It won't take, like, a miraculous run down the stretch. Now each game they fall further back down the standings. But to have that mentality going into a month-and-a-half stretch where you have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs and to be defeated before you even take the field, I don't know who to blame. I want to blame everybody.
The AL East ship has certainly sailed. They lose another game to Baltimore last night. It's very close to double digits, 9 back. The only benefit for them is the Yankees lost as well. But those are almost irrelevant issues right now. The big number is just winning a couple in a row or putting 3 of 4 together. And that's what the Jays need to do at 64 and 62. More on that all morning long. We will check in with Arash Madani in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We have Blue Jays baseball for you at 2 o'clock today with R.A. Dickey on the hill and of a quick 2-game setter against the National League Central leaders. It's Brady and Walker. Greg Brady, Ben Ennis will do Now and Then, this date in history for August 20th, coming up at 5:50 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I think that Tim Leiwicki is a guy who, from what I understand, I don't know exactly where he's going, but I think he's got some ideas of challenges that he wants to do, and I think he's ready to do it.
As Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman, 7 weeks from tonight, opening night, by the way, Leafs-Canadians. He'll be front and center in coverage there. But he was on Tim and Sid, and he was co-hosting Primetime Sports with Jeff Ree Blair yesterday at 4 o'clock. Breaking the news of sorts that Tim Leiwicki is not long for Toronto. These are tricky stories. I had a source tell me back in the fall of 2010, Richard Petty will plan to depart, MLSE, and he won't be there anymore. And they're going to search for a new president of MLSE. And I mentioned this on the air. I was doing Hockey Central then with Nick Kiprios and Doug McClain. We talked about it and ruminated about it. And then all of a sudden, an hour later, there were hockey insiders from all over Toronto that don't work in this building saying, nope, it's not true. It's not true. Richard Petty's not leaving anytime soon. He said so. And, of course, he said so because he wanted to make the next 6 months about the work that he was putting in. And lo and behold, by March or April of 2011, he was gone. And there's not too many people that... this isn't even about Elliot Friedman being great and not usually getting stuff wrong. This is just about the timing makes sense to a lot of people. And there's been whispers in the wind about Tim Leiwicki perhaps not staying forever. And he'll see his way through the Raptors and Leafs season and the start of Toronto FC's campaign next year and then be off somewhere else.
How is the timing right? And how? Okay, there's one thing. There's staying forever. And he was hired in June of 2013.
It's 2 years. So he'll stay almost 2 years somewhere.
And I'm glad he said already, and the greatest clip of all time, he's fixed the Maple Leafs, right? Like, everything's fixed. So I got fixed the Raptors, fixed TFC, everything's fixed. How many? Okay, they got one playoff run.
I know.
Out of the Raptors.
But that's Lywicki-ish. I saw a quote yesterday. I'm just so proud of all that we've accomplished.
What have you accomplished? He's like, he's George W. Bush standing on the aircraft carrier with mission accomplished, right? What have you accomplished? You've done nothing, okay? Yeah, sure, Toronto FC is probably in a better spot.
What you're saying is you
want
to be president of the Blue Jays. That's what you want to see. That's right. The job you want to see him land in, is what you're saying.
I want to see him and John Bon Jovi in that ownership group with the Buffalo Bills.
There's bluster. I don't know if you've ever read, you ever picked up Grant Wall's book about the Beckham experiment?
No, I haven't actually read it. Yeah,
And he's really front and center in this, and how he, a lot of people said you won't be able to have David Beckham come from Real Madrid and decide to play for the LA Galaxy. So he is a bit of a dreamer in that context, and always has been. The book's kind of fascinating in that respect. And I know what you're saying. You're going, I guess I expect the bluster. It's like if we had Don King sitting here and we'd sure. be like, oh really? That next fight's going to be the greatest fight in the last decade of boxing. Sure it is.
Okay. Shouldn't we wait for something?
He's a promoter.
That's all nice. All right. And there are positives to take away. Okay. Right. He put Masai Ujiri in place. That appears to be a great addition to that franchise. It was shocking their rise last year that they were able to make the playoffs.
So what if Brendan Shanahan, what if a half decade from now, results for Brendan Shanahan's team and Masai Ujiri's team are through the roof.
Okay, good for you. I mean,
what else do you judge him on? I don't care how full the seats are.
Okay, shouldn't he wait until, to bear fruit
Of course he should.
Okay,
yes.
All right, so we put those guys in place, and all right, my job's done.
You ever meet those guys, and they can be any walk of life, doesn't even have to be in this business, and you say, he's a great guy, just ask him.
Yeah, that's right.
That's Tim Lywicki. It just is.
That's what he likes about Phil Mickelson.
He likes
Fig Jam.
Tim likes Tim. And but that's okay. I don't doubt there are probably pitfalls maybe that he thought are more complicated. And then there's the whole Rogers Bell thing. And again, people might think we're somehow we're in on the ground floor on this kind of stuff. And we're not.
With sources. I have no sources.
I'm the first person to not have any context for how things work between Rogers and Bell, other than knowing people at both companies and knowing that that of course both would be Coke and Pepsi if they shared a team, or Ford and GM if they shared a major billion-dollar organization, would have different philosophies and some competitive competitive sense against each other as to how to run something amicably. Right?
So is that what you're saying? You're saying that he's leaving because mommy and daddy are fighting? He doesn't want it. He doesn't want
that. Might be a reason.
Around.
Why wouldn't that be a reason if you don't? If you think it's preventing you from getting stuff done? Sure.
I don't know. There were whispers that he didn't like the weather, and he didn't.
I don't like the weather. Do you like the weather?
No, especially last winter. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
They
said they're picking up and they're moving this station and this property to
Hawaii.
Yeah. Are you not going?
Oh my God! Sign me up. Yesterday. Right.
You get tickets to the Aloha. Now, instead of the previous Bills and Toronto series, you get tickets to the Oahu Bowl every year on December 23rd.
Sign me up for that.
Between two college football teams.
I'm not too proud to say that, yes, during the winter, I looked at monster.com for jobs in Hawaii during the winter, and whether that meant bartending or something. Just get me out of here.
Get out.
We got through it, though. We survived.
We somehow did. As did Tim Lywicki. Fur coats help. That might have been. Is that real mink? Yes. 5:49. Let's do Now and Then for August 20th.
Now and Then. A hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history.
I'll be back in time. Our own CEO, Ryan Favreau. There you go.
Did you find any bartender jobs in Hawaii? And if you forward those to me.
Would you want to be Tom Cruise in cocktails? Is that what you were looking for?
I don't care. I don't care what. I would clean toilets, 40 hours a week for men living in Hawaii. And avoiding that winter.
And date Gina Gershon.
That's right.
Right?
Not the worst move ever.
They're both things are really dirty. That's not fair.
Both things are fun for a couple of weeks, and then you fall into a routine.
All right. August 20th, stuff that happened on this date. That could or could not be interesting. In 1989, the number one movie 25 years ago today was Uncle Buck with the late John Candy.
I don't really remember. It took a long time to see that all the way through. I didn't see it in the theater. It took me a long time to see it all the way through. And I love John Candy.
I haven't seen it in got to be at least 20 years. I used to watch it a lot as a kid, but yeah, I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah, I don't remember anything about it. But there you go. 2007, Michael Vick, he agreed to a plea deal on the state involved in the, of course, the dog fighting ring. How much did that throw off his career, really? Like, if that didn't happen, do you think he would be a better quarterback? We think.
I don't know how. I think he's probably started more NFL games than you would have gotten on a bet in Vegas on the average, given that he was incarcerated for 19
months. Yeah, there was
months,
a question whether he'd ever play in the league again.
And
right?
Think about that first year. He just came in for a play or two and carried a clipboard around, backed up Donovan McNabb. And then McNabb went to Washington, and he sort of got the job on his own.
But how good would those Falcons teams have been if he'd stuck around? I mean, they were pretty damn good teams.
But didn't they turn into Matt Ryan about 2 years later?
Right, and what's he won?
Oh, but Matt Ryan's pretty good.
Bounce back season coming for the Falcons this year. I'm serious.
Well, you're right. When Vic was first drafted, if you'd said to me, Vic will never play in the Super Bowl as a starter after that playoff game in Lambeau in 2002, I'm like, it's coming. We just don't know when he'll be in a Super Bowl. Whether he wins it or not, who's to say?
I was thinking this the other day watching
preseason NFL
Redskins. Yes, I don't know why I did. I wanted to watch Manziel, but Robert Griffin III. I'm starting to think the same thing like I did about Michael Vick. Like, stop running like an idiot.
Yeah,
like,
he doesn't fumble the ball as much as Vick, though. He doesn't hold the ball out like that loaf of bread. But he's more likely to have his head taken clean off going down the field.
But he does not own anything named Bad News Kennels. That's spelled true. With a Z.
It's very true.
I do. So does Ben. But anyway, moving on. In 2008, Usain Bolt. He's good. He's set a new record in the 200 meters at the Olympics. Never really got into the 200 meter. That's just me.
It's not one of your favorite events of all time?
Yeah.
Did you run track? And everybody ran track in elementary school.
I kind of suck.
Did you have an event that you were particularly good at?
Ball throw.
A length softball throw?
Yeah. Okay, the shot put is fine, whatever. But there should be just a ball throw. Like, wouldn't you love to see who can just chuck a ball the furthest in the Olympics?
Do you want a softball? Do you want a baseball?
All right, maybe I just want to see Yoenis Cespedes and Yasiel Puig try and go
to the Olympics.
Other. Yeah,
sounds like injuries waiting to happen in that sport of yours.
So it's length, not speed. It's how far, not how fast, right? You don't put the gun on them, right?
Well, that too. I want to see that too. I want to see Mike Trout and Billy Hamilton race as well.
You want to see the baseball Olympics?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Great. 2009. We were talking about weird Ontario weather the other morning. In 2009 on this date, there was 18 tornadoes that touched down in Ontario in one day, the most ever. There was destruction in Durham.
Seems like a high number.
Durham and Vaughan. And I don't remember this either. This happened.
What, give me the day again.
2009.
Is that the day?
Not a clue.
Is that the day where that Twister went through that drive-in movie theater that was playing Twister?
Yes, I think
Well, it couldn't have been. They couldn't have been playing Twister in 2009.
When did that movie come out?
96.
Well, only
95.
12 years later.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Fine.
Golden Oldies Night at the drive-in.
I want to go back to the drive-in.
Drive-ins are great.
There's one near my house.
They shut the one down near Markham, which was awesome.
And Sharon or something? Sharon?
Yeah.
Ontario?
Yeah, it was near
I never
church.
Went there. Damn it.
Many things are near churches. All but right. Anyway, it was too.
Okay, quick birthdays. Robert Plant, he sang with Led Zeppelin.
Heavens. Sure. Coming to town in a couple months.
You'll be there. How old today?
Those jeans don't fit, but he is 55.
Oh, my God. He's
terrible guess.
68.
Better guess. He's 66 today. Brady closer. Also, when you think of Robert Plant, you think of great singers, and then you think of Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit.
No, you don't.
Also with a Z, Zed. Fred Durst. How old
no
is the
Zed
Limp?
No Zed in Durst.
No, but there's a Zed in Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I know, because I sadly owned a CD in university.
Well, Fred Durst is probably 48.
That is incorrect. Ben?
He's 45.
He is 44 today. And also,
another guy's got... You got to regret all those tats by the time you're 50.
Of course.
You have to.
He's got to be bald under that red hat now, too, right?
Here's hoping.
Fred Schneider, Fred Durst.
And the number one song from 1981... It is a real beautiful slow song. It is Lionel Richie and Diana Ross.
Diana Ross.
Endless Love.
From the movie of the same name, which they were just remade.
I never saw that movie, but I remember this was in
Brooke Shields?
Happy
no?
Gilmore.
Yeah, that's what this, this song reminds me of as well, yeah.
555.
Talk about your all-time backfires.
555, it's Brady and Walker, Greg Brady, Ben Ennis, diving back in on Blue Jays Brewers. They'll play game two of this series, by the way, speaking of diving, in about 8 hours. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Prices like no other. From a club like no other. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Another costly loss by the Blue Jays.
And the Brewers win it 6-1 here in game one of this two-game series.
We got outplayed, and it started with me. I got us in a hole behind early. You know, we're aware we need to play better baseball.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
6:02, it's low tide for the Toronto Blue Jays. Good morning, y'all. It's Brady and Walker, Greg Brady and Ben Ennis on Wednesday, August the 2-0. Jays will play a daytime game today at Miller Park, beautiful Miller Park in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And then they will get to come home. The quote that leaped off the page, and some people will run pretty far with it, Jose Reyes. We just want to go home. And they are 1-6 on this road trip. Ben, when you think about road trips, we all thought, okay, the road trip that's really ugly was the Seattle-Anaheim-Oakland road trip. It ended with Tampa Bay, I should say, and Anaheim and Oakland, not Seattle. And it was so bad, but you just say, get to the All-Star break, and then breathe, and then bodies will come back, and health will come back, and they'll get on that kind of May run that had been, they were just kind of a middling team. Well, they're not even that right now. Right now, they're playing like a bad baseball team. They have the worst record in all of baseball in all of August.
And they won four straight series after that All-Star break. It looked like things were on the up and up, and that was before the bodies got back. Brett Laurie was right there on the horizon. Edwin Encarnacion, Adam Lind, they were right there waiting to return. And then the non-waiver trade deadline happened. They did nothing. Jose Bautista, Casey Jansen came out with their comments, and people said, okay, whatever, that's behind us. They went out, they won that night 6-5 over the Astros. Jansen locked down the save. Bautista hit a home run. Since that moment, including that win, the Blue Jays are 5-12. And I wouldn't have put much stock into it until reading Arash Madani's tweet yesterday about the anonymous Blue Jay before the game saying and pointing to the brutal August and the 5-12 record. See, this is what Jose and Casey were talking about this team not making a move at the non-waiver trade deadline. If that's the mindset for this team going into that game yesterday, that's a problem. That's a big time problem.
Sure it is. And anybody who criticized where the Blue Jays were at with their clubhouse, and anything you would have heard, Ben, anything I would have heard from either being down at Rogers Center or not even being, you don't have to be 20K near there to hear things, is 2 years ago, there were all these issues with the veterans and the younger players and Omar Vizquel. But we attribute a lot of that to John Farrell. And in the subsequent John Farrell departure, we all said, no wonder it was so messy those last couple months. John Farrell just quit managing. He didn't even care how they did in August and September. Omar Vizquel's stealing his own bases, and players are taking themselves out of their and we got a bit carried away with that because it was really easy to look at John Farrell and say, bad guy, bad man. What did the bad man do now? And 2 years later, we have good guy managing. Everybody likes him. Ah, shucks, Gibby's the best.
I like him.
And I know he's liked a lot. But if you were John Gibbons and you find out that a player said this, let alone how public Bautista and Jansen were 2 weeks ago, I don't know how. I guess I co-run a household, but how many things have I really run in my life? Don't I close the door and say, guys, honestly, we look like we're falling apart. We look like we're falling apart at the seams here. It's bad optics to be bitching anonymously about trades that were not made 16 days ago.
How many closed-door meetings has this team had? Have they had one all season long?
I thought they had one, actually.
I can't remember one, but there have been definitely crisis points of the season. This would be probably the biggest, I would imagine. It was pretty ugly earlier in the year when they were blowing leads in Minnesota and Pittsburgh. Can't remember one after that point. And if I like John Gibbons. Like I said, I like him. I don't know how much of it you can put on him. I don't know how much of it you can put on Alex Anthopoulos, who famously did not address the team after his lack of movement at the non-waiver trade deadline. But at a certain point, you have to look at teams that are sort of similar position-wise to the Blue Jays. The Tampa Bay Rays, they lose their best player. They have a crappy payroll.
Yeah.
They don't add to that team at the non-waiver trade deadline, at least not for this current edition of the team. And Joe Maddon's got that team, you know, buttoned up. How many dissenters were on that team after the non-waiver trade deadline? So no. I don't know if it's all on the manager, but
the manager thing is so difficult too. You know, the toast of the American League 6-7 years ago was Ron Gardenhire, because he'd get the Minnesota Twins into the playoffs, and Tom Kelly was his predecessor and won two World Series. And you say, how do they do it? How do they do it in Minnesota? And there's Ron Renicki. I don't know if Ron Renicki's a good manager, but when I look at Milwaukee, do I think they should be way ahead of St. Louis and Cincinnati and even Pittsburgh? No. So it's a dangerous game judging the managers. Last night, it's through the looking glass to look at one game, but there's a listlessness right now. I'm sorry, you can play law of averages and small sample size all you want. You can't go up starting in the third inning and let Milwaukee perfect game you the rest of the way. And that's what happened last night. The Jays, in a 6-1 loss, just had the two hits and just had the one walk. Jose Bautista in the first inning. They could entice a walk after that first inning.
Listen, baseball's hard. It's hard to hit a baseball. It's hard to score runs. But to not work a walk, to go up there and swing early in counts, that's exactly what you look at when you're talking about a team who doesn't care, who doesn't believe it can win. Of course, fans don't believe they can win right now because that's part of being a fan. But you think as a player, you'd be better than the fan. You won't be a trolling Blue Jays fan if you're a player.
You nailed it because we're August 20th and they came in 3.5 games out last night. I don't want to be it's not a harbinger of awful things to come. And sometimes an awful thing has to happen for somebody to change, right? Doctor has to call you in and say, if you have another cigarette, you will be dead within 6 months. It's amazing how many people quit.
Yeah.
But if I just said to you, hey, why don't you quit? I like it. But you're going to be dead within 6 months. Oh, I didn't know that. So you may need something cataclysmic with this Blue Jays team. I guess my point is, if you're playing like this now, what are you playing like on September 5th? If you're 8 games out of the wild card. I mean, if it is gone, like gone, baby, gone. Just after Labor Day, if that's where it's at.
It's good news for people like us, though, Greg. Because
meaningful September baseball banner next to the meaningful August baseball banner.
Well, outside of that, at least there's going to be plenty to talk about down the stretch here, and whether we're going to start hearing rumblings of Jose Bautista, you know, maybe this is the offseason where I should move on. Maybe you could go somewhere else. I imagine that's going to be the storyline if the Blue Jays are in that scenario that you just depicted.
17 degrees right now, 6:10. I'm Greg Brady. He's Ben Ennis. 22 the expected high today. We may get an afternoon thunder shower. Shouldn't affect the game in Milwaukee, though, and it is right here at 2 o'clock. First pitch right after an hour of Tim and Sid. You'll get Blue Jays baseball today. Let's do our Wednesday morning six-pack.
This is your Wednesday morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
All right, Greg, number six, the Ottawa Senators signing Clark MacArthur, the former Leaf, to a $23.25 million 5-year deal. It's an annual value of $4.65 million. 29-year-old, scoring a career high 24 goals, adding 31 assists last season. So he cashes in, and I guess Leaf fans are kind of giving a quizzical look as to what exactly happened there.
12 months ago, I think to some extent we were too. I don't say misuse of him by Randy Carlyle, but that's a big feather in Brian Burke's cap, too. The player's got to go out and earn it, but that was a guy out of options, and the Leafs signed him just to a one-year deal very late in 2010's training camp and brought him in, and he scored 21 goals in both full seasons with the Leafs.
Number five, Elliot Friedman yesterday reporting that MLSE president Tim Leiwicki would be leaving the organization. Leiwicki denied those reports in a statement. Only took over the post in June of 2013. Sportsnet's Michael Grange spoke to him yesterday. There's a good piece on that conversation on sportsnet.ca right now. Grange will join us this morning at 8:42. Be interesting to see how that plays out. It seems like very, very soon for Leiwicki to be moving on.
Yeah, 2 years after leaving the LA group and the Anschutz group, but there is a lot of talk that that he's got his own destination already picked out, so we'll see where it is.
Number four, more than 10 years after the incident, Steve Moore, Todd Bertuzzi reaching an out-of-court settlement. Moore never played again in the NHL after Bertuzzi jumped him from behind in March of 2004. Moore, now 35. Says he still feels the effects, headaches and post-concussion symptoms and all that. So he's going to get a bunch of cash. The exact amount not disclosed, though, yet.
Still, maybe the ugliest NHL incident of probably my lifetime, and maybe people even older than
Mick
me.
Sorley stick swinging doesn't do it
and
for
that, and that was ugly, but Brashear recovered, I guess, rather quickly. Do you have do you remember where you were finding out? Did you wake up to Moore Bertuzzi? I went to bed two periods into that game, and I saw Moore fight Matt Cook in the first period. And I thought, well, that's it. Yeah. He's done his duty, and he's had to get in a fight. And then I went to bed before the third period, woke up, and all hell had broken loose, obviously, in the third.
Yeah, it was ugly. It was all over ESPN SportsCenter. It was south of the border as well. Hockey making the headlines. Number three, Maple Leafs hiring Brandon Pridham as their newest assistant general manager. He's worked in the NHL's head office for 15 years. He'll be in charge of the salary cap contract negotiations as well. The Maple Leafs starting an analytics department headed by Daryl Metcalf, founder of ExtraSkater.com. So the nerds continue to
lambda at the Leafs front office.
In droves by NHL teams. Number two, the American League wild card race. Well, it's still hot for the teams close to the top as the Tigers beat the Rays 8-6 in 11 innings yesterday. Mariners beat the Phillies 5-2. The Yankees, though, lose 7-4. Three-run home run. Chris Carter in the ninth inning. So it's the Yankees now 4 games back of that second wild card held down by Detroit and Seattle. Cleveland now tied with the Jays 4.5 games back as they lose some ground.
And you can never rule out that wild card, that tiebreaker to get into the wild card. That happened last year with Tampa Bay. They had to play that game on the Monday and then go to Cleveland on a Tuesday. They still beat the Tribe in Cleveland to get into the ALDS against Boston.
I want
to
see like 4 teams all tied for those.
One of which would be the Blue Jays.
Yeah, that wild card round before they get into the wild card. And the number one thing you need to know, the Blue Jays losing 6-1 to the Brewers last night in Milwaukee. Just 3 base runners all game for the Jays and none after the second inning. They will wrap up the road trip this afternoon, 2 o'clock, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet R.A. Dickey against Jimmy Nelson. Jays 1-6 in the trip so far. They just want to go home. Take me home.
I don't blame them one bit. They'll be home to play the Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees, Tampa Bay Rays later on in August. The Rays starting this weekend. Coming up at 6:22, the Leafs do hire an analytics staff. Is this cause for celebration? Or, I suppose, put it this way, tempered enthusiasm. We'll discuss it in 7 minutes. And the latest as well from Ferguson, Missouri. Last night, a quieter night, yet still an alarming number of people arrested protesting the shooting of resident Michael Brown.
Back at it. Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Right, the Maple Leafs front office has indeed won the Greek games.
Back at it, Brady and Walker.
And Lewis Sportsnet and Gilbert the Fan will take over the department. The Leafs have hired an analytics staff. Look, it's worth playing for it anyway. You know, or we could play Are You Ready for the Sex Girls, which is just as good, honest to God. So you like numbers. I like numbers.
Love them.
I think you can overdo it. I really feel like I'm a slice-it-down-the-middle guy. Unlike golf, I'm a slice-it-down-the-middle guy with analytics, maybe leaning 60-40. I don't, what I don't get, Ben, and it probably irks you and it irks me too, is the people who just, who poo-poo this idea. And I'm going, why you don't have to use it in the way I use it. And I don't have to use it in the way somebody who's really deep into it uses it. But why wouldn't you want the access to it? That's the biggest thing. It's like weather. It's like, imagine they invent like Doppler radar 40 years ago, which they did. And they take it to all these like television stations like, no, our guy, our weather guy, Chuck, he just looks at the sky.
Well, it's
that's all he does. Yeah, he knows when something's coming.
It's the guys that are willfully ignorant that kind of take pride in the fact that, no, we don't use the stupid numbers. We don't even want that extra information. Why wouldn't you want the extra information? Even if you just throw out that information, at least take it in. And at least finally now, the Maple Leafs, this budget that apparently existed under Brian Burke that was never used, finally that money is being spent.
And what are the cheap shots that get thrown at? There's the, well, they never played. And I'm going, well, I quit in Bantam and I called games for 7 years in juniors and I love hockey.
That argument's the worst.
You watch games differently. The amount of work that goes into calculating zone entries, where face-off deployment, who's got possession of the puck, shot attempts and shot blocks. You're rewinding, fast-forwarding, rewinding. Tyler Dello, who's got this new job with Edmonton, has made it he really made it an art form on his website. So I just don't get the yelling at a cloud anger. And I'm not, you know, even our buddy Andrew Walker, who's usually here, he gets angry about it because I'm going, you don't have to use all of it or even 20% of it. But as the Leafs are now deciding, why wouldn't you want access of it? I don't expect Cam Charon or Daryl Metcalf to walk into Randy Carlyle and go, listen, Booby, you're doing this all wrong. That's not going to happen. But you're going to process information and you're going to utilize hockey metrics that do exist. Look at baseball. How much has baseball changed? And never mind the old argument, how many GMs played deep into their career and were, you know, most of these guys were working as businessmen or as scouts in their 30s and getting a sense of how to pick talent. I'd rather have a guy picking talent than a guy struggling in double A ball when he's 30. I'd rather have a guy who got an early start on this, like Theo Epstein or Billy Bean or some of the other younger GMs that Ben Sherrington, people are so impressed by.
This stuff, the analytics stuff, it's not going to give you insight on Sidney Crosby. You don't need analytics to tell you, oh, Sidney Crosby's a good hockey player. What it's doing is those value guys. And I might argue some of the guys the Leafs have already picked up in free agency this season. Those are the guys where you can find value. You can try and outsmart teams in that regard. You're not going to use analytics to decide on the best players in the National Hockey League. It's stupid. You don't need WAR to tell you that Mike Trout is one of the best baseball players on the planet. But there are guys like Stephen Vogt. I mean, Stephen Vogt's a good baseball player. Maybe not everybody would understand that without the advancements in statistical analysis in baseball. And there are plenty of examples of the equivalent in the National Hockey League. And now the Maple Leafs are going to be able to evaluate those guys a little more in depth than they were able to in years past.
And I do understand, this is something, it does feel like a bit of a hot trend right now. It's not going to guarantee success.
No.
And as you said, there's nothing, if the analytics dudes come in and say, boy, we're not quite sure that Phil Kessel's your best scorer. They're not going to say something that stupid. They're not going to compromise their credibility at the end of the day and all the hard work. I think it's really cool as well, because given that I've followed, there's a few people that I've followed on Twitter over the last few years, and they're now working in NHL front offices, and a lot of the media people ripping them would never get hired by an NHL front office because their takes are so remarkably outdated. And just remarkably wrong some of the time as well.
So many people in retrospect were so loud wrong. And Maple Leafs of last year, a pretty prime example, the way they were playing over their heads beginning portion of the season. And the argument that they never played the game, so they can't evaluate the game and can't give good insight on player evaluation and hockey decisions makes no sense. You know how many players watch the game after they're done playing? Not many. Tons of baseball players who won't watch a game if they're not playing in it.
Let me ask you why you think, like, when you take calls on shows that you do or you talk to people who are in the sports community, I never hear that argument in any other walk of life. You don't have to be a politician right. to have some semblance of analyzing politics. You don't have to have ever picked up an there are music critics that couldn't play a note on any instrument imaginable. They couldn't even bang on the drums like a monkey. And they're amazing music critics and have a great wealth of history. Roger Ebert, did he act? No. Did he direct any movies? No. Do I respect his opinion on film? Yes. I mean, where do we stop with all this?
It's a jock reaction, right? It's from players who need something. They need some way to discredit the people who are criticizing them. And what better way to say that I'm better than you because yeah. I played the game? I mean, that's a go-to thing. I mean, J.P. Arencibia did it, although he was criticizing guys who did play the game and Dirk Hayhurst and Greg Zahn, but it's just kind of a go-to. It's an easy way out for players when criticizing the media.
And think about it this way. I think there's more than enough cases where you can go too far the other way. If someone said, if I ran an NHL front office and someone said, oh, how many ex-players do you play? I'm like, none. No, they're of no value. Of course they're of value. Yeah. Of course. Because I do think there's valuable experience and anecdote and you know, timely, you know, there's a sense of the history of the game that former players are going to bring you. But if you stack your front office full of them and they all think the same thing and they all can't see the forest for the trees with new information and think the Leafs' fourth line the last 4 years is fine when they play 4 minutes a night and none of them can you know, stick handle past a pylon. Well, no, that's going to hurt you in the long run. Of course it is.
What was it, Molson Export that said it was all about balance? Remember that ad campaign like 10 years ago? I feel like the pendulum is swinging a little bit too far, though.
Maybe
in
so.
In the analytics.
We'll find out.
And I find it even in my thinking in sporting terms. I have to take a step back quite often because I don't believe in clubhouse chemistry. Obviously, there is such a thing. Because what's happening to the Blue Jays, what happens with teams in the National Hockey League, there is a balance between humans, because you are dealing with humans. They are not sport-playing robots. There is a balance to be had, and maybe it'll swing back the other way at a certain yeah. point. I think it is a little bit too far on the robot pen protector side of things right now.
6:30, I'm Greg Brady. He's Ben Ennis. We'll get to best and worst coming up at 6:45 this morning. So last night in Ferguson, Missouri, there were high hopes that it was a very peaceful evening. I'm sure a lot of people might have been watching the Brewers blow the Blue Jays out and realizing Shark Week was last week. And then they flipped to CNN. And I've noticed myself, like if I had a little meter on my TV, it's been on CNN a lot in the last week and a half with the protests in Ferguson. I don't have, we talked about it yesterday, we both have opinions on this and certainly what may have happened with the young man being killed. But I'm sort of, we were thinking something's got to give here. Either the people will just stop being out and protesting as much as they're protesting, or the cops and the National Guard and the state police and the county police and the dog catchers and everybody that they brought in there will simply, you know, dial down their presence a little bit. And right now, neither's happening. There weren't massive scenes of protesters and Molotov cocktails and violence last night, but they still arrested 47 people. There's still officers with body armor and helmets and shields and tanks. And again, you think, is this North America? Yeah, it is North America still.
It seems to me like there needs to be some sort of negotiation, but it's not like you can say, oh, here's
who's the leader.
The
head. Who do
yeah,
I talk
right.
to?
Who's in charge of the protesting? But it does. I mean, the optics kind of inflame it a little bit, Greg, because if you're a protester and you're one of the peaceful ones, aren't you kind of ticked off when you look across the aisle there and you see guys in riot gear and live ammunition lining up against you? And there is the aspect of the people who are there just to make trouble, because that is a big part of it as well. And yesterday, apparently, things starting to get heated after a bottle was thrown at police. So there are, you can't just say that it is just the police instigating it. There are people on the other side, on maybe not necessarily the protesting side, and there are nonviolent people, but there are people instigating from the civilian side of things. It's hard, though, to see an end to it. When does it end?
And if you're a civilian, and a lot of them, I guess this transpired yesterday, went out, protested during the daytime, and then said, the sun's setting, I'm getting the hell out of here, because all these other people coming in aren't from Ferguson. They aren't all up. They're almost anarchists. It's sort of like how that became a jokey blame thing for the Vancouver Canucks riot.
Right.
Those aren't Canucks fans. Those are anarchists that have come in from elsewhere, like the G20 summit in Toronto the previous summer. But I'm thinking, I don't know that many anarchists wearing Petri Skriko jerseys. King Richard Bredeur on the back with the retro V, and that guy's lighting a police car on fire. I'm not sure about that. Those look like normal citizens to me.
How do they just bring everybody's levels down? Like the frustration level, the anger level, the tension level is just so high. There needs to be somebody, unifying force. Who is that? Who's the most unifying person on planet Earth?
Would it be charging this police officer with a crime, which hasn't happened yet? And same time, will there be a group of citizens that are, I want to say more pro-police, and I would guess also they'd be more inclined to be white, and they would say, hey, you're rushing to judgment here. This is the mob mentality, and you're giving in. You're giving in, and you haven't done all the work to investigate exactly what happened here. I feel like I have a sense of it. You feel like you have a sense of it from everything that's been out there in the autopsy. But that said, announcing they wouldn't release his name for the longest period of time, and then put this video out of him of the kid stealing cigars at the same time. I know what that was, and it was kind of a dirty trick in retrospect. I'm not saying this kid was an angel, but it was a dirty trick to put that out at the same time.
Remember, it's not just a one-incident thing. I mean, this is racial tension in the United States. I mean, Fruitvale Station, I don't know if you've seen that movie. Great movie. I mean, this happens. It's not a one-off thing what's going on in Ferguson right now.
So Mariners win, Tigers win. The Tribe wins to tie with Toronto. They're both the 4.5 games out of the wild card, and the Yankees did lose to Houston 7-4. A huge set of games for the Blue Jays to just get healthy again. And healthy meaning wins. They'll try today, 2 o'clock, Ari Dickey on the mound, Blue Jays Brewers. Coming up next, a study says you're better off having daughters than sons for one very specific reason. We'll explain it. Coming up at 6:42. It's Brady and Walker, Greg Brady and Ben Ennis on this Wednesday morning.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Always the best sports talk on Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I think that Tim Leiwicki is a guy who, from what I understand, I don't know exactly where he's going, but I think he's got some ideas of challenges that he wants to do, and I think he's ready to do it.
All right, Tim Leiwicki, we'll talk about him in just a little bit. That's Elliot Friedman on Tim and Sid from yesterday. This is the family ties theme. We saw this study. You are without child as of right now. Do you have any ambitions?
That I know of.
Yeah, I know. But do you have any ambitions and say, I'd rather have... I always figure every dad wants a son. Every woman wants a daughter. Sure. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
And sometimes you say, well, you're really lucky if you get one of each. I have two boys. But, you know, you wouldn't trade them 4 days out of seven. The other three you might.
They wouldn't let
trade
you do in, that anyways,
trade
right?
Trade like picks and a prospect.
That's illegal, I think. Right? Like,
well, it's frowned upon.
Yeah.
Like masturbating on an airplane. I'm pretty sure that's illegal too. Okay, fine. But a study from Princeton. So, I mean, we're not going to Indiana State here. Princeton's study found daughters. Now, when parents get elderly, everyone thinks to themselves, oh, my God, what if I'm on my own? Who's going to take care of me? And this study finds daughters provide an average of 12.3 hours of care to elderly parents per month compared to sons 5.6 hours a month. Think about how little you do something and then you realize you do it 5 hours a month. Okay, I probably empty the dishwasher 5 hours a month, all told. That's not, and I'm thinking to myself, I hate playing this old stereotype. Stereotypes are not based out of gray matter. They're based on things. Is it because men are working more at a certain age with elderly? But are you?
It's genetics, Greg. I mean, there's maternal instincts, right? I mean, that's. I'm not saying something that people. If you were to guess who takes care of their elderly parents more, men or women?
Yeah,
would say women.
But every woman does want to take care of a baby. Men want to take care of babies too,
right?
But we're not. I don't think we're as good at certain things. Men, but I don't think women want to take care of old people.
Well, old people are like babies.
They
wear diapers.
Listen, you don't go to a home shrinking. And you see somebody who's 80. She is adorable.
Oh, you start talking to her in a baby voice. You lose your hair. You look a lot like a baby.
John Cusack dated Diane Court. Lloyd Dobler dated Diane Court and Say Anything. And when he went to the old folks home, he didn't find them all cute.
Winston Churchill
started
to look like a baby at the end there. All the pictures you see of Winston Churchill at the end, he looked like a baby little bit.
I did have a friend who pointed out, and it's so right, that every baby in the first 6 weeks or so looks like Don Zimmer, the late Don Zimmer. They look like that's what happens.
That's right.
If your baby looks like Don Zimmer in the first 6 weeks and you're a new parent, don't be concerned. It won't last. There's no Don Zimmer DNA there. But this is just daily stuff like they list the living tasks that in this survey, again, women do this double the time men do. Dressing, traveling, eating, medication, and grocery shopping. And maybe this is also, the dressing thing is definitely maybe a maternal thing, because I think a woman could dress her mom.
Yeah.
But maybe she could also help dad. I don't know if I want to help mom get into a purple pantsuit so she can go for a walk down to Rexall.
Is it that men are more willing to just pay the money and put mom and dad in a home, right? Like I'm saving up for that.
That's what I want. See, I have this image of retirement homes in about 30 years, and they all have. Sometimes you go in these places and they're just very drab and plain, and I'm just picturing plasma screens and Xbox.
Right. Yeah, you had this great
disco dancing.
Wasn't that long ago you had this conversation with me, and you really turned me on to this retirement thing. I'm kind of looking forward to it now.
When I see all these old folks get on these little shuttles and they're going to the casino. Do you ever see that? They're
all
on the way to Falls View.
You can't drive for more than 5 minutes on the QEW without seeing five of them.
I think in 25 years, every retirement home will have a casino in there. Right. So you don't need the shuttle.
Right.
If I live on the fourth floor, I know that blackjack's on the second floor, roulette's on the third, and the slots, which I wouldn't even bother with, are on the fifth.
Or you just play online poker, right? You could just play it online. You don't even have to leave.
Then
wear your diaper and sit in your room.
You young people, that doesn't seem very social, play online poker. You got to sit at a blackjack or roulette table with the other big wheelers who are 80.
I'll have talked to enough people by the time I'm 85. Done with shut myself off from the world at that point. Just play poker.
6:47. We're going to tell you about an interesting concept. Now, we don't know if it's going to come to fruition in about 5 minutes for a college football team. You know how there's some people that put the names on the back? You know how, like, the Yankees have never put names on the back of the uniforms, right? Yeah. That's very unique.
The worst are those people that buy the jerseys with Ruth on the back. That's the worst.
But they didn't used to wear numbers. Like, Ty Cobb never wore a number. So how would you know it's him? He's the racist guy spiking everybody and throwing fruit back into the crowd. We'll do best and worst, though, right now.
Best
Carl Crawford
and worst
Carl Gunnarsson
with Brady and Walker.
It's Dion Phaneuf's partner you're talking about there. Oh, well, Alicia Cuthbert, biblically is, but anyway, whatever.
Yeah, Carl Gunnarsson. And Carl Crawford saying he's the best. I mean, he's okay. It's fine.
Yeah. Carl Ravitch is good from
MLB
on ESPN. All right, so we do best win, worst loss, best player, worst player. We do four categories, and we split them up and do two each.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll start with best player then, Greg. How about that? A guy that was freely available in the offseason, Omar Infante for the Kansas City Royals. He was 4-for-5 yesterday, 3 triples, 4 RBIs, also a run scored as the Royals... Oh, they refuse to lose. They win again, 7-4 over the Colorado Rockies. James Shields, 12-6, and still a 2-game lead over the Tigers in the American League Central. Playing some good ball right now.
Worst player, what on earth happened to Grant Balfour? Remember, so highly sought after. He was the Cats' pajamas in Oakland for a couple years and signed a deal with Tampa. This offseason, he's a 5.48 ERA. He's had a whip that's been up near 2 most of this season in 30 outings. And they brought him in helping for some extra inning help last night. And he faced 4 batters and gave up 3 walks and a hit. And then he left. And the funny thing is he walked Victor Martinez, to give the go-ahead run to the Tigers, and everybody remember the big confrontation, the, you know, what are you looking at, bitch? You went Jesse Pinkman on everybody. like, you know, go back on your, and the umpire's yelling, go back on your mound!
Yeah.
Stop messing around out here.
It was the battle of horrible relievers, Jim Johnson into that game, and Joe Nathan gave up a run and got the save, so... That game was in danger of never ending, but it did in 11. I'll take worst loss. And how about the New York Yankees, who tied up with two runs in the bottom of the sixth against the Astros, tied up at fours, headed to the top of the ninth with their closer David Robertson on the mound. 3-0 count to Chris Carter, who jacks a three-run home run, his 30th home run of the season, and did Chris Carter right now, Greg, as well. 9 homers in August. He's got 30 this season. And the Astros are not a pushover anymore. Still 20 games under 500, though, as they beat the Yankees 7-4.
Best win, Angels go to Fenway, and they get it over Koji Uehura. Naturally, you don't pitch your closer at home in a save situation because you've won already. So Koji Uehura comes in the ninth inning, but Chris Iannetta tags him up with a double to left, and Brennan Bosch, who was sort of shuttling around the minor leagues
for
a year. Yes, the Angels brought him up from AAA a week and a half ago. And he got on base somehow, he did. And Chris, I always think an underrated hitting catcher is Chris Iannetta. I do. The Angels have liked him he's been there for a good half
takes
decade
a walk.
Now.
Yeah, it takes a walk and it can hit for power.
Like, he sits down at the bottom of that stacked order behind Trout and Pujols and Hamilton and Kendrick and those guys. But so he's always batting eighth or ninth and always finds a way to get it done and make it work. So, and I don't know when I said it, Ben, but I did say it at some point in time, and I'm usually wrong more than I'm right. I wasn't sleeping on the Angels coming back and winning the AL West, and I swear I said it when they were probably 4 or 5 games out. And they're starting pitching. Garrett Richards is having, obviously, I wouldn't even call it a breakout season. It's a career season times 10, and they've been able – Weaver hit the DL once. They've been able to keep guys relatively healthy. And now you look at Oakland. You wonder – Oakland's 7-10. Now they're 8-10, actually. They were 7-10 before last night since the – trade, and I know we're going to talk at 7:02 about all these the stuff that Arash Madani dug out of Milwaukee last night, and more anonymous Jays complaining that they didn't get anybody. And I'm going, well, Detroit and Oakland have slipped into wild card spots, and Detroit's flirting with not being in the playoffs at all since getting David Price. Oakland, despite how great John Lester has been, haven't played that well in the non-Lester starts since they went and got him, because Cespedes was a big player in that lineup, a huge player in the middle of that order. Yeah, they don't have him anymore.
Hitting in the middle of that order, and Sam Fold is not Yoenis Cespedes. There's no question. And yeah, when you're going back to the Blue Jays and what they would have acquired at the non-waiver trade deadline, who's the guy they would have added to this team that would have kept them from being almost shut out in every game in Seattle, or had more than 2 hits yesterday?
Is it a rental, or is it another guy you're giving up? So we mentioned this happens, and everyone who's older than me would remember that eventually they made NHL teams. If you watch really old NHL footage till about the mid-70s, there's no names on the back of the shirts, no names on the back of the sweaters. And then Harold Ballard on the blue sweaters decided to put blue tape names on blue sweaters so people couldn't read them anyway. He said, I'll do it, but you won't be able to read it. So the University of South Florida, the Bulls, had planned to put the team on the back of their jerseys. And every player would wear, I don't mean South Florida, just the phrase, quote,
the team
for number 8 or number 20 or number 98. And the school talked to the NCAA about it, and the NCAA said, you can't do that. It's almost like, remember when the XFL came around and the Rod Smart did the he hate me thing? The players would put like phrases or nicknames on the back. The NBA's flirting with doing this nickname business and did it in a few games. And the NCAA said, we're strict about this. So either you can have the player's name, or you can have a school name, or nothing, basically.
Which is ridiculous, because there's a bit of the licensing and marketing aspect of this, right? I guess they want to sell jerseys. I don't know if they can sell them with the actual players' names on them. And I know the video games can't even reference the players by name. But yes. I wonder if that plays into it. The Patriots kind of started this, though. Remember in the Super Bowl where they refused to be identified by player in the introduction? They just came out as a team. This isn't the University of South Florida isn't the first team to kind of look at this out guys.
You're right. But is it this phrase? Like, what if the Ohio Bobcats wanted to put go hard on the, I mean, literally, on the, it's not Boogie Nights, but go hard on the back of every jersey. Right, it's a bad idea, but the NCAA would step in it. Come on.
So or what's so why give, wouldn't it be you, give the a, team?
Give 100% on the back of the
a different
Syracuse
motivational
yes.
Friends. Hang in there. And they get the picture of the cat yes. hanging onto the tree. Yeah, I don't know.
We rock it. And everybody, I mean, there does have to be a line. I'm not sure the team crosses the line. I guess the military schools can put words like honor without the Canadian U. It's a waste of a letter. Or integrity on the back of their uniform. But then again, it's like, you know, who's covering integrity? He's having a great game. Double team him. He's hot. Get out there and get on him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would be good if there was like, if it was kind of like a mood thing where it would, you know, would change. If it was like a mood ring where it would be like angry, sad, constipated.
Like a chameleon. Yeah.
Gassy.
Well, we'll tell you what the Jays would be. They were a bit gassy last night. Get them some gripe water. 7 minutes from now, Jays Brewers talk from last night. The Jays were perfectoed from the third inning on. 24 straight batters retired in a listless 6-1 loss to the Brewers. What does it all mean? We'll discuss it at 7:02.